This is a podcast from Rover.
Kia ora, and welcome to a bonus episode of Grey Areas. And I am very excited to be opening this window on bone health. With me is Christine Gill, who's the Executive Director of Osteoporosis New Zealand. Now, that could be quite a heavy title, Christine.
It is a heavy title, and specifically today we want to talk about bone health, because often osteoporosis is considered sort of an old medical kind of negative imagery.
So people with walking sticks, with bent backs, just wandering around frail.
Exactly.
But that's not the whole story. Can I share with you something I kind of feel like I discovered recently? I was talking to somebody about caring for my skin, and they, as a masseuse, they were saying, well, of course, you know, your skin and your fascia and your muscles sit on your bones, and your bones shrink over time because they need a good blood supply. And I started to think, of course. My bones aren't like scaffolding. They're not like an inert structure like steel. They're actually growing and healing and dynamic. But we don't think of them like that.
That's the problem. Many people never think about their skeleton, unfortunately, until they actually have a break.
Okay.
And your skeleton is actually a living tissue. So the whole human skeleton is actually replaced every 8 to 10 years,
wow.
No matter your age. If you're 2 or 92, you've got this process happening in your skeleton, which is actually fixing little bits. So you've got some cells that sit in your skeleton that go, hey, over here, there's a little crack in it, come and fix this. So Petra, by the time you're our age, it looks like a patchwork quilt, if you can think of it like that. And it's always turning over. So this process is happening all the time. And it actually starts right from birth.
Okay.
Well, before birth.
So can I ask a question? There's this great thing about the bones being healed all the time, but I'm guessing as we get older, that also gives the opportunity for them not to get healed so well.
So let's just cover off the lifestyle of a skeleton.
Okay.
You are getting a little ahead, because what we need to look at is what happens to your skeleton over life. And it's one of the key sort of lifestyle factors of your skeleton. So the best thing you could do is actually choose your parents. Now, you can't do that, obviously, because there is a genetic component to the strength of your bones.
Right.
And then you build the maximum strength of your skeleton you're ever going to achieve by the time you're about 30. And from there, it's about maintaining it through until, for women, generally menopause. And then from then, there's some other things we need to look at. So with that first point, up until 30 years, it's called your genetic peak bone mass. So what you're looking at there is you want to make sure you're doing enough exercise, you've got a balanced diet for your children particularly.
Yeah, so look, thinking about my teens.
About your teens. And for every 10% of genetic peak bone mass or maximum strength of your skeleton you don't achieve, osteoporosis has been shown to come 13 years earlier in later life. So we need to make sure that
what we're doing is putting money in our bone bank.
Absolutely.
That we can spend later in life. So we're just pushing out the likelihood of those osteoporosis breaks.
Absolutely.
If we are making our teens get off the devices and out into the sunshine, walking around, using their bones.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Perfect analogy is a bone bank. Then you're maintaining your bones during that sort of adult period. And the reason menopause is such an important factor is that that bone turnover that I talked about earlier is actually regulated by your sex hormones.
Oh, no.
And so for us, 51 on average for menopause to hit. Women, unfortunately, can lose between 15 and 25% of their bone in the 10 years after menopause.
So when you say lose bone, we don't become shorter and smaller. What do you mean by losing bone?
Well, when you say you don't come shorter and smaller, that is one of the key indicators, is that you will get shorter.
Okay.
So if you actually lose height is actually one of the things that, you know, people look for medically.
Yeah, well, actually, when you say that, I do feel like I'm shorter than I used to be. Is it also that we're losing internal mass, like the structure of our bones is finer?
Exactly. So what we're talking about in bone health is actually the strength and structure of the bones that are actually inside. It's like a structural bridge. So the more sort of struts and stuff you've got in it, so normal bone looks quite structurally strong, whereas osteoporotic bone is literally bone that is porous and weak and more likely to break just from a low impact trauma. Okay, so we're talking about tripping over the cat or just standing and falling over, putting your wrist out and it breaks. So fragility fracture is defined as a fracture that is from standing height or less.
So it's, you're not on a mountain bike and you've been thrown off. So those breaks, actually, do we really need to pay attention to those?
In a different way. Obviously, you want to fix the break. But what we're looking at here, and we're actually involved in a massive program with ACC to actually deliver best practice fragility fracture care and prevention in New Zealand, looking at when those people have their first fracture, which is often their first indication, to actually stop them going on to have a second or third or, you know, future breaks, because fractures actually cluster in time, fragility fractures.
So this is quite exciting. What you're saying is that our health system is taking this broad overview where if somebody comes in with like one of those fragility fractures, we're saying, hey, I need to pay attention what's happening with this person's overall bone health.
Absolutely.
So what can we, yeah, tell me more
so
about that.
That's called a fracture liaison service. So they would go through all of the patients and look at people over 50, have they had a low trauma fracture? And the main fractures, there's a lot, but the top five they're looking for are a hip fracture,
yep,
a wrist fracture,
yep,
a shoulder fracture, or a spine fracture.
So those fractures we need to pay attention to.
Absolutely. So for any in your audience that are over 50 and they've had a fracture due to, you know, a low trauma incident, they need to actually discuss that with their GP.
This feels really good because it's like you're having a much deeper comprehension of what's going on inside of you, because we can't see our bones, thankfully, but we want to be able to know the health of our bones, don't we?
Absolutely. So it's often called the silent disease because the first time people actually become aware of it is that first fracture. But there are a lot of things that you can actually do in advance of that.
Let's talk about some of those.
Okay. So the first one is obviously as you get older, be aware of it because age is one of the risk factors.
Okay.
But there are some other surprising ones like BMI. For all the girls out there who are thinking being too skinny is a great idea, it's not. Actually having a normal sort of BMI, not being too skinny, is actually a good thing.
It's a protection factor.
It is.
Awesome.
Which is great.
Yeah, I love that. Pass the kick. Okay, no.
Fracture history is obviously number one, which is what the fracture liaison services are looking for in the program that we're working in conjunction, partnership with ACC and a whole broader group. And then from there, it is family history. So if you have a mother that had it, a sister, that also is another risk factor.
So be aware of that.
Start the conversation generationally or, cool, you know, within your family just to understand what elements you actually have. And then from there, there are lifestyle factors. So looking at not smoking, not drinking too much alcohol for two reasons. One, it actually affects that bone turnover that we were talking about earlier. But it also, you don't want to be too drunk and fall over because you're more likely to break something. So the alcohol side of things, actually eating a balanced diet. So many people think bones, calcium. Calcium is important, and we're talking there about dietary calcium. So we're looking at calcium actually
calcium
in your foods.
Your food, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So are you saying that the protein, the carbohydrates, the fruit and veggies, those things literally continue to support bone health?
Absolutely. So it's the balanced diet, not just the calcium. Calcium's important. Vitamin D is also important.
So that's being outside, not sun through the glass, but actually being some time in the sun.
Yes. So you need your face and hands and arms kind of exposed to sunlight. It obviously depends on the season, depending on how long you need. But vitamin D is actually called, it's not a vitamin. It's actually produced by sunlight hitting your skin and it's produced in your skin.
So if you go for a walk or walk your dog or meet a friend or do some gardening or, you know, go somewhere, you're moving your body, which is potentially the impact bone health needs. You're getting some vitamin D. Unless you live in Auckland, just jokes. And, you know, there's these flow-on effects, right?
Absolutely. So you touched on a really good point there of exercise. So exercise is one of the key things you can actually do. And we're talking about exercise that actually works your bones against gravity. So it's, if you can go into the gym and do resistance weights, that's fantastic. But it is exercise like walking, playing tennis, running, those sort of things. But also ACC is supporting through their Live Stronger for Longer program, another website people can go to and look at strength and balance classes. So not necessarily the impact, but certainly to keep their strength and balance up so they don't fall over as much. So we have a site that we launched recently called bones.org.nz. So people can just go onto that. There's a number of fact sheets that they can look up. There's also our fracture risk calculator. So if they just click on the Know Your Bones tool, they can get a personalised report that they can take to their GP, and that will help them actually understand or to bring up the conversation.
And I guess that, you know, you've got a 15 appointment with your doctor. That actually is, you've pre-done this test, you've already looked at the risk factors, and you're arriving with something you can discuss and maybe get some movement on. But I want to, I guess, ask finally, in this window of opportunity, are there things as a 50, 55, 60-year-old that I can do that will really support my bone health moving forward?
Key message, Petra, it is never too early or late to think about your bone health. So within that website, we talk about the nutritional aspect, we talk about the turnover. We also, there's another app which ACC have just launched called Nimble, and that you mentioned earlier about the brain sort of element of not falling over. That's what this is as well. So it combines the brain and the kind of strength and balance side of things that they can do. So there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. It feels like this. So I think what we need to do is put all the websites you've mentioned into the show notes so people can don't have to, you know, rewind 15 seconds and write it all down, which is what I'm usually doing listening to podcasts. But I do feel encouraged because it can be overwhelming to think, oh my Lord, now I have to look after my bloomin' bones. But I actually know that I need to come alongside my body and care for it, because in that way it will also care for and support me. And I really like my skeleton.
You need a good skeleton to live an active older life.
Yeah,
basically,
that's what I want.
To do anything.
That's what I want. I want an active older life. Cheers to you and the work that we and everyone, ACC and everyone's doing. This sounds like a good movement. I feel encouraged.
It's fantastic.
Thanks.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for the awareness.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool.